Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And Eliana, you've been following this lost IRS email story over the past couple of weeks very carefully. And many people, certainly on the right, believe they were destroyed. And as it turns out, a new Fox News poll, a lot of people who aren't exactly diehard conservatives thinks that's exactly what happened as well. This is from FoxNews.com's Dana Blanton. The consensus is it's no accident. More than three quarters of voters, 76%, think the emails missing from the account of Lois Lerner, the ex-IRS official at the center of the scandal over targeting of conservative groups, were deliberately destroyed. We saw a fierce and stark partisan divide in all the congressional hearings on this. It looks like the American people aren't falling along those lines at the same time. So that gives more momentum to this investigation and hopefully gets us closer to the truth.
Right. The IRS is in a really tough situation here because even if they're being totally straightforward when it comes to the destruction of these emails, it does look like too convenient for it to be merely coincidental. When the emails of Lois Lerner and six other figures whose emails congressional investigators sought, that just smells bad, even if it was really an honest accident. And I think the other thing that's difficult for the IRS to get over is that they didn't tell congressional investigators right away when they knew that they weren't going to be able to turn over these emails. And so perhaps what the IRS is saying is true. These computers crashed. They lost the emails forever. They're being honest. That's something that really challenges even the most gullible mind. And I think that's what you're seeing reflected in this poll.
90% of Republicans think the emails were intentionally destroyed. 74% of independents and even 63% of Democrats, perhaps even more troubling for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats on these relevant committees, 74% of voters now say lawmakers should investigate the IRS until someone is held accountable, and that includes 66% of Democrats. So they have very little leg to stand on here in terms of their current tactics. Do you expect their tactics to change as a result of numbers like these?
I do think that the people polled are absolutely right. Somebody should be held accountable. We've seen some people lose their jobs, but I do recall John Boehner saying that when he heard about this scandal, his reaction wasn't who's going to be fired, but who's going to go to jail. And I think that's a sentiment that you're seeing reflected in that poll. But the onus is really on these congressional committees in the absence of a special prosecutor. I mean, it's up to these congressional committees really to ensure that people are held accountable. And I think what you're seeing, the response among the Democrats, is that this could just as easily in a different administration happen to them.
That certainly was what was happening in terms of Watergate 40 years ago, and at least the threat of Nixon using the IRS to go after his political enemies. In this case, it appears that to some extent that did happen. So interesting numbers across the board in favor of the current direction that the House majority is taking here. All right, on to the bad martini now, and this is worse than just about anybody would have expected. The preliminary numbers for economic growth, and I use that term growth advisedly in the first quarter, was pretty negligible at first. But now the final numbers are in, and the nation's gross domestic product in the first quarter shrunk by 2.9%, almost 3%. And 3% growth is considered a pretty good quarter, and lately it'd be considered a fabulous quarter. So, Eliana, this economy, as Jim Garrity likes to say, is kind of bouncing along the bottom. The numbers aren't horrific, but they're certainly not great. Now we're seeing one that heads in a very negative direction. How surprised should we be by this, and what do you think's behind it?
I think it's tough to draw any conclusions from 1 month of anything. And as I'm sure you know, Greg, you know, these numbers get revised upwards and downwards in subsequent months. But I think you can look at the economic picture as a whole from what we've seen over the past several months in the past year, which is just sort of an economy sputtering along. The president hasn't really been successful in pulling the economy out of the recession that he inherited. And I think that's something that is reflected in these terrible poll numbers that were out last week, with Americans saying they have, 54% of Americans saying they do not have confidence in his ability to lead. A big part of that, even though the shift in focus has been to foreign policy, for the bulk of his presidency, people have cared most about the economy. And I think that the lack of confidence is in large part due to his inability to pull the country out of the recession.
Eliana, I'm sure you remember, I don't even remember whether it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but when the economy was not responding to the stimulus and other government programs the way that the Obama administration had promised, they said the Japanese tsunami and a whole bunch of other different factors were to blame for the fact that the numbers weren't as good as they should have been. One of the economists I saw quoted today said that this contraction is largely due to the extreme weather we had in the first 3 months of the year, and not a sign that the U.S. is suffering from any sort of fundamental slowdown. Is this more spin, do you think, or do these factors that get trotted out whenever the numbers are really bad actually have some credibility to them?
I do think they have some credibility, and I think people are incredibly frustrated by what seems to be just an economy sputtering along. People are ready for a jumpstart, and I also think it was very funny. The New York Times Magazine had a piece by their economics reporter, Annie Lowry, who said that people getting into the legal marijuana business are hesitant because they don't know what the regulations on it are going to be. They don't know if the laws will change. And so you're not seeing the sort of takeoff in that business that many had expected. What's true for that business is true for all businesses as a whole. And I think that's one thing that has really hampered the economy in the Obama era, is that this uncertainty about what sort of regulations are going to come down the pike and so on. And I think that's been a real problem.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And yesterday was primary day in a number of different states. We saw James Lankford surprisingly score an easy win and avoid a runoff against T.W. Shannon in Oklahoma. That's to replace Tom Coburn. Charlie Rangel looks like he survived yet again in his Democratic primary up in New York City. But the race that just about everybody was watching yesterday was the runoff in Mississippi between longtime incumbent Thad Cochran and his challenger, Chris McDaniel. McDaniel had the most votes in the primary, but neither candidate got to 50%. So they go head-to-head yesterday. And Thad Cochran ends up winning by about 2 percentage points and a much bigger turnout than we saw in the original primary. And we know that this contest was ugly all along, and it got even uglier in the 3 weeks between the primary and the runoff, because Thad Cochran and his allies decided that one of the things they wanted to do was turn out Democrats and particularly African-American voters on his side of the aisle. So what the law is in Mississippi is that if you actually intend to vote for the nominee of that party come November, you're allowed to vote in the primary. It's kind of a stupid law because there's no way to police it, because nobody knows how you vote in the primary or in November. But understanding that, here's how one of the flyers that was handed out in deeply African-American parts of the state read over the past couple of weeks. According to the Clarion Ledger, Chris McDaniel and the Tea Party plan to prevent Democrats, in quotation marks, voting in the Senate runoff on Tuesday between Thad Cochran and Tea Party candidate Chris McDaniel. We know the Tea Party uses Democrats as code for African Americans. Don't be intimidated by the Tea Party. Let's turn out all Mississippians and vote for Thad Cochran. Thad Cochran works for all Mississippians. Mississippi cannot and will not return to the bygone era of intimidating black Mississippians from voting. We must rise up on Tuesday to have our voices heard on who will represent Mississippi in the U.S. Senate. Vote Thad Cochran. And then there's a list of things that Thad Cochran has supported, including the Martin Luther King Memorial. And that says that Chris McDaniel voted against the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum and food stamps and the Farm Bill and all sorts of other things. So, Eliana, some say this is just how bare-knuckled politics are played when a race is on the line. Others say this is a Republican stooping to the worst tactics of Democrats to win a race. How do you see it?
Look, you got to hand it to Cochran and to Haley Barbour and his political operation. They did what they had to do to win, including being totally honest. They touted Cochran's support for food stamps and his liberal record. They tailored their message to the various constituencies in the state. Among Republicans, they talked about his conservative credentials and, what a rock rib conservative he is. Among Democrats, they talked about how he loves to bring the pork home, supports food stamps, historically black colleges. Politics is brutal.
And so what's the takeaway here? Do whatever it takes to win?
I'm not a campaign strategist or offering moral lessons for candidates, but they pulled it off. And I think you got to hand it to them.
Well, they certainly did turn out a lot more votes. That was one of the things that most of the experts got definitely wrong yesterday. A lot of people saw either one of them winning, but nobody saw the turnout being that much higher than it had been 3 weeks earlier. Most people thought it would shrink, but perhaps due to that tactic by the Cochran campaign and others, both candidates saw a lot more votes than they had 3 weeks earlier. But in the end, it's Cochran with the nomination and a huge advantage come November in a deeply red state. So, Eliana, fascinating to watch. And as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And please tune in on Thursday. Patrick Brennan and I will be here for the next 3 Martini Lunch.